Yo, what's good? Welcome back to another episode of the Henny Nights podcast. As always, I'm your host, your brother, Jay White, coming to you live from Cosby Society in the heart of downtown St. Louis. If you ever wanted to start your own podcast, this is a spot where you need to be. They can help you with the format. They can help you with you want to do video, you want to do audio only, or you want to do both. It also doubles as a co-working space, too. So if you ever wanted to put on an event, you wanted to change the scenery, start working from home or start working from the office, you can come down to Cosby and do all of that. So make sure you check them out on all social media platforms. That is KAZISOCIETY. And most importantly, shout out to Jamie, black woman, black owned space, doing very, very dope things. So make sure y'all tap in with that. Next, Henny Nights merch is in the show notes of the podcast. So if you ever wanted to get a hoodie, you ever wanted a crew neck? I do not carry that stuff on me. So you will need to go to this link to make sure that you will get the right stuff. It is there all year round. The colors never change. So make sure y'all tap in. As always, I appreciate that love and support. And yeah, thank y'all for tuning in, of course. So I have a very, very dope guest on the podcast. So I'm stepping out of my comfort zone a little bit here. This is not a person I personally know or ran across before. I found their content on TikTok at a very, very important time for me in my life. And at some point, I was like, I'm going to reach out. You never know. It doesn't hurt to do that or whatever. And she didn't respond. She didn't respond, but that's because she don't know me. The message goes to the other inbox instead of the regular one or whatever. But she did so happen to read it. So it got to where it needed to go. One thing led to another. And now she is on the podcast with me. And it's very, very dope to have her. But I always let my guests introduce themselves. So, and your intros are like A1 on TikTok too. Like the one I went back to your page today, and the one that you doing the hit, so I was like, yeah, we gonna be all right. But yeah, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Sharnia. I go by Sharn, and I have a space called Grief is Ghetto, and it's I don't really know what to call it. People ask me that all the time. I'm like, I don't know. It's just a healing space. So I talk about my boyfriend who passed away in 2021. And I just kind of discuss the phases that I've gone through and, open up the floor for a discussion for other people who may be experiencing, those same waves of grief that I am. So that's basically what I do. There's some other fun stuff like the heel toe and sometimes where I just blurt out random thoughts, but it is mainly about, my grief and the journey I've been on since, my tragedy struck me in 2021.
Yeah.
And thank you for having me, by the way. This is really dope. And your message did go to the other inbox.
Oh, it did.
I didn't see it, and I had to go find it. I was like, why does it keep telling me I have a message?
Yeah.
So yes, I saw it, I was like, oh no, this is dope.
Yeah, so like that was my first time doing anything like that. Just like, we'll see what happens, because I'm very much alike, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't, or whatever. So I knew it got through, but you hadn't read it yet. So I was just like, it's going to sit there. It's going to sit there till she opened it or whatever. And then the day you opened it, and I think you liked the message. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, hold up. Wait a minute. And the exchange happened, and we were able to set this up. So I'm like super excited and happy to have you on. Because like you said, grief is ghetto. So to kind of give a background of how I found you, I my girlfriend that I was dating passed in September of 2020. Of course, obviously it's a rough time, which we'll get into later, but the way the algorithm me working And you're going through the various phases. And I was like, wow, okay. This is touching on a lot of things that I can relate to and a lot of things that I'm going through and feeling and didn't quite have, you know, the words to, because it was still very, very fresh at the time or whatever. But yeah, it was an instant follow, you know, and I've sent people, you know, your content to kind of explain like the thought process, because sometimes you can't put it into words as eloquently as you do on the platform. So like I would send videos and be like, this is exactly how I'm feeling. She just worded it better, you know, and had the capacity for it or whatnot. But yeah, as always, I like to say this is a safe space for you to, you know, share your story and completely be yourself. So yeah, I wanted to talk about, you know, your background and that story and how you were able to process that.
It started because once my boyfriend passed, right? Mm-hmm. I went through a period where, when we all go through a period where you don't really feel anything. Like you know, there's sadness and then there's just nothing. And I started to Google like the stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that they would vary from one day to the next. Hell, from one moment to the next. Like I would feel anger, and then I'd feel depression. And then I feel, you know, I feel denial. And then I was like, this doesn't go in the order they say it's supposed to go in. So somebody's lying, you know. So I started just recording myself and talking to myself, trying to decipher, you know, how do I feel right now? Because people used to always tell me, feel your feelings. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? And so once I actually tapped into that, and I was like, okay, I'm angry right now. Why am I angry right now? And it's almost like I would backtrack it to figure out what brought me in this moment, what brought me to anger. And so it's like, well, I had a life planned with somebody I thought I was going to be with for the rest of my life, and now that's gone. I'm angry about that. And so then that led to the videos, because I could only put it into words once I could backtrack it. I couldn't do any of that at first. It was very hard. I couldn't tell people how I felt. I just wanted you to stop talking to me. You know, like people are like, how are you today? Don't ask me no more.
Because I don't know. Exactly.
Finally, I was like, well, I have to figure, like, I got to figure this out or I'm going to lose. No, I really felt like I was spiraling down so fast to where I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen next. So I had to find an outlet, and doing this, maybe if I do a video, somebody will say, oh, I understand. You know, maybe it'll be one person that kind of gets it. I didn't expect this many people to tap in, and I'm totally grateful. But it was definitely beyond my expectation. I was thinking a good 20, 30 people, and that was going to be my tribe. Yeah. And, you know, maybe I could start a little group. But the fact that it took off, yeah, I was like, I'm going to find me a good little, just a little focus group. But the fact that it took off the way it did, it overwhelmed me. Because I'm just like, what is going on? Like, y'all, I think I'm crazy. But y'all think I make sense? Okay, so I don't feel dumb now. So that's really what it was. It's like not wanting to feel dumb, because those five stages of grief aren't really applying to me the way I think they should. So I that's kind of my inspiration, is going beyond those stages and, you know, talking about the things that make people uncomfortable. Grief, your grief is uncomfortable to other people. And being able to discuss those uncomfortable feelings brings comfort, you know, ironically brings me some comfort. And, you know, I hope and pray it does that for the people that watch it.
So did the, like the reception and responses to your video, was that also like a very huge part of helping you? Not necessarily, because you never really get over it. I hate when people feel like you'll get past it, which is something else I'll touch on later. But, the responses and just the reactions you were getting, were that like, did that help heal to a certain extent? What, you know, absolutely. The things you were dealing with?
Absolutely. When I, you know, when people, I read every single comment, even on the TikToks, and it'll be hundreds of them, but I read every single one. I may not be able to respond, but I read them, and it's insane. People will say like, oh, I just did that yesterday. She said she went on his, did that yesterday, you know, like, so it, mm-hmm. it just gives you a sense of like, okay, I'm normal, you know, like I'm grieving. But this is normal grief because, you know, especially, well, in the Black community, we're almost, I know a lot of us are taught that, you know, once you have a funeral, you know, the body goes into the ground and, all right, go back to regular life. Go back to how mm-hmm. you were. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do I go back? Like before that person was living. And now they're not. And, you know, I know you relate in this way, you know, with your girlfriend, because Ken, who is my boyfriend, is deceased. Again, we had plans. We was getting married. We was buying houses. We was having kids. And all of a sudden, we're not. So how do I go back to what I was or who I was mm-hmm. or how I was? How do I do that now? And having to experience that level of grief, I'm like, no, there has to be a because the way that we were brought up, there's just no possible way I can, you know what I'm saying, just go back to my regular life. I don't even breathe the same. So what do I do, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that was another inspiration for me to talk about it because, again, we don't, like in our community, it's not really discussed. Mental health in general is, you know, kind of something we try to toe around. I just thought it was important for people to see, you know, a Black woman talk about, you know, grief and how taking me down through there. Because there, you know, if you look at the videos, there are some where I look fairly, you know, okay. And then there are others where my hair's not done. I probably didn't wash my face that day. I may not have showered for 3 or 4 days. I don't know. But I try to bring out that raw, you know, feeling so that, because there is somebody that's sitting around that hasn't showered for 3 days. Because they're just sitting in their depression. And I want them to see me and say, hey, it's okay, you know? So that it's, those comments definitely are big for me. When people like you that DM me and say, oh my God, thank you. Like that is huge for me, especially on days where I'm like, I'm done posting. Like I won't post no more. And then every time I get to that decision, somebody will DM me like, oh, you helped me so much. I'm like, all right, so now I gotta make another video. Shit, I can't stop now. Can't stop now. So it is so much. It was never for me. Even though it helps me, it's not for me. You know, I'm the vessel. It's for whoever sees it and needs it that day. And I'm just grateful to be able to be the face of it. But it was never for me. And I'm learning that as I heal that this is for everybody else. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy. I'm happy to be doing it. Some days I have to take a break. There are days between recording myself that I have to take a break and go, you know, shed some thug tears because I done got real with myself, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I'm one of those people, like you said, that it helped. So I appreciate that you were able to, even on the days that you were like, yeah, I'm done. That's a wrap or whatever, you know, those comments and, you know, messages and things like that got to you. It was like, no, like we need this. Cause like you said, and at least for, you know, our culture, Black people or whatever, it's back, like you said, back to square one. And it's like at that point, especially speaking for myself, I was like, there, square one is, I don't even know what square one is anymore.
I don't know what it is, right?
Like it, everything has changed. So like you're expecting me to just be, you know, go back to like nothing happened. It's just frankly impossible. And it happened, like you said, it happened in 2020. With the pandemic, for me, the situation was magnified times 10 because it was during the pandemic. Was it the same?
Yes.
for you? Okay.
Yes, yes. Because so Ken was February of 2021. So it still was the height of COVID. And a lot of the procedures, you know, with the funeral home were, you know, so many people could go in the room at a time. You know, COVID made a lot worse. And then maybe three or four of my very close friends were sick during that time. So they were grieving him. And then they were also grieving the fact that they couldn't do anything for me because they couldn't physically be here because they're sick. You know, so it was a lot to process that. And see, with your girlfriend 2020, that was like, that's when COVID people were still, you know, running rampant and
yeah.
To have to process it during that time, I know for me it was a lot. We ended up doing, like, we did a viewing for him, but again, funeral home rules, 3 people in at a time. And I mean, Ken was just very, very well known. So it was a line out of the door to get in to, you know, to view his body. So we had the memorial outside because a lot of people wanted to celebrate him. So we thought that would be great because, again, all the restrictions from COVID, you couldn't have this many people in a sanctuary and this many people in, you know, so we're like, let's just do it outside where everybody who loves him can come and we'll just enjoy it from there. And it was a nice big turnout and we did it safely, but it wasn't like your traditional, you know, viewing and funeral service because, you know, we couldn't pack out a church like you can in most cases. And I'm sure it was the same for you having to deal with it during COVID as well.
Yeah. So I guess this is a good segue into getting into what happened. And I don't think I've ever like gone into full detail on the podcast here. So like I'm just now being comfortable. Like when people ask me, I tell them. But it's not like, hey, I'm James and listen to what the fuck I've been through. You know what I'm saying? Like
right.
Kind of like you gotta, you know, if it's some, you gotta ease them into it, basically. And so for me, oddly enough, y'all have the same, almost the same initials. Like her, you go Sha. Her name was Chantel.
Oh wow.
Her last name was Wilson. Your last name. So you know, yeah.
Interesting.
You know, and very interesting. But me and Chantel had known each other for damn near 20 years, basically high school. And we're always really, really like close friends, like best friends. You know, and that looks weird, you know, like you can't have platonic male best friends or, you know, female best friends, but that was really what it was. What the dynamic was, we talked shit to each other, you know, and but it was always love and stuff. So we tried our hands at dating plenty of times. Plenty of times. And it just never quite like went where it needed to go. Whether it was you know, she's gonna move out of the state and she wasn't really trying to be in a relationship, and I'm like, but I'm ready or whatever. Or
right.
me just getting out of a relationship and us, you know, kind of rekindling and stuff. And I'm like, whoa, like, hold up. Like, you know, if my ex came back, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If my ex came back, I'm gonna go see what's over there and stuff like that. So it never was really quite where it needed to be. And it caused some falling outs. And then, you know, one time we started spending all this time together, you know, just being a dumb guy, you know, like, well, I'm spending all my time with you. What do you think this is or whatever?
right. Yeah.
But she was like, nah, like, what are we doing? And that caused a huge falling out between us where we didn't speak for almost a year.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and I admit that I was being young at the time or whatever. Mm-hmm. But fast forward to 2018, the end of 2018, we rekindled, you know, our friendship and stuff and started talking and catching back up. And then we actually dated, you know, like just actively enjoying each other's company and going out and doing stuff. And then, you know, there wasn't any pressure this time. It was like, you know, I was going through some stuff, you were going through some stuff, you know, and if it comes to that, we'll cross that bridge when it comes. So finally, her daughter put me on blast because she had a, I forgot how old Layla was at the time. But we were hanging out and she just came into the room and was like, "So are y'all boyfriend and girlfriend?" just like out the blue. And it was like, oh, you know, that fork in the road.
Layla was talking about shit.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that too. But it was just a fork in the road. It was like, you either gonna do this or you not. Mm-hmm. And this time I was like, no, like I'm not gonna run away from it. Like, yeah, we gonna do this. So I just told her, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Chantel got real quiet. Got real quiet. Oh, and Layla was like, okay. And then went back, you know, to doing what kids do or whatever.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk about it until the next day, where Chantel texted me, was like, "So what was that about?" And yeah. I was like, "Look, like we actually have been intentionally dating. You know, we never could seem to quite get it right. And your daughter put me on blast. And, you know, I decided to step up, essentially, and be like, yeah, we are." So started off great, you know, honeymoon phase, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I turned 30. And I don't want to call it a midlife crisis, but the way I perceived the world and how I dealt with things just no longer worked for me at 30. And literally that it worked for me at 29, 28, 27. Coupled with the fact, literally it was so weird, like, you know, stressing about different things or whatever and just not being able to like fully shake the stress, like the anxiety and stuff like that. It was so, I had never felt that before. And then my uncle suddenly passed away in 2019, and that unraveled everything for me. To the point one of my friends was like, "I think you need to go to therapy." Like, what you're saying to me, with you not being able to like calm your anxiety and process things and like just feeling detached, you need to go to therapy. And I was like, okay, I'll try it. And luckily for me, it's not the case for everybody, but I was able to find my therapist very quickly. Black man, he was like, "I can see you this weekend." And I'm like, okay, I'll be there.
Nice.
So I lucked up. I know that's not the case for everybody. So I'm extremely blessed in that regard and happy that I found him. But he was able to get me in, and we started talking about, you know, why I was there. And I was like, "Well, I'm grieving my uncle." Like, I literally, it happened out of nowhere. It was unexpected. And then I got other things going on in my life that like I just can't seem to regulate my thoughts. It's just all over the place. So we dealt with the grieving process first. And then we started unraveling childhood stuff and the childhood traumas. Childhood traumas and like relationships that I've seen. And before I knew it, it was like, oh shit, this is not just a one-off thing, you know. I got some stuff I got to work on. And that was trickling over into my relationship too, because I grown up very much with the idea of like what masculinity is. Like, you don't show emotion. You take
not.
On the world.
Right.
You put everything on your shoulder and you figure it out. Fuck you crying for it type stuff. You know what I'm saying? So
you don't cry. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And at the same time, Chantel is like, dude, like you don't have to like put all this on your shoulders and carry all this mm-hmm. and do all this stuff alone. And she luckily she was going to therapy too. She was seeing her own therapist and whatnot. So working through that, and then eventually made the decision to go to couples therapy because it was serious. It was serious to me. And yeah. I'm like, if we really gonna do it, if we, you know, we talking about building a life together and all this other stuff, like we might as well jump on it now. Cause I don't wanna wait, you know, until you know, we
get bad.
Get bad or practically married and like it's unsaid things and all type of stuff we still haven't worked through. Like, let's work through it now. So we started going to see my therapist together too. So it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. There were moments where like
right.
I'm pretty sure she did not like me. And like I wasn't fond of her, and I was stressed. I was in finishing up grad school at the time too, so like that was stressing me out. She was, you know, going through the things of being a mother and taking care of somebody outside of just you and personal things or whatever. So it's just like a lot going on. While also like revamping our identities, you know, as two separate individuals who are like mm-hmm. going to be together in the long run. Like you were saying right. earlier, that changes. So we made it through 2019. By the grace of God, we made it through 2019. Made it through her 30th birthday trip in Jamaica, where we were hashing stuff out in the middle of the ocean, but we needed to. Just a lot of work. And I think people don't take that into consideration. They just see the memes and just the Instagram highlights, but like this is the ugly stuff that nobody tells you about, of like you sometimes not liking the person you're with or whatever.
Absolutely.
Or not liking you, or not confident in who you are, and just the idea of those identities being reworked and revamped. So 2020 comes and it's off to a great start. And then a pandemic happens. Shuts everything down. She's also she had lupus, so that put her at risk with everything right. because right. lupus just attacks your whole every system mm-hmm. possible.
It does.
And for somebody with that illness, catching COVID was like a death sentence. Like
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
ain't no way. So she ended up basically not working for a while because it just wasn't safe for her to be in the working environment. And we didn't know what COVID was. Like, it was crazy. It was crazy then, you know, what the things they were saying. So, and she went into a little bit of a depressive state too, I think.
Yeah.
Not being able to enjoy life in a way that you want to. You already have lupus, so you have to navigate that, but to
right.
not be able to do anything, I think that
right.
was a lot for her. And it was a lot for all of us, but specifically for her. So we were working through that, and I'm trying to figure out what's wrong and trying to, like, you know, keep her spirits up and things like that. And it was hard. It was just a hard time. And then I ended up getting let go from work, furloughed from work for 3 months. So
wow.
In a way, it was a blessing in disguise because now I have nothing to do. So I got nothing but to spend time with you. And she pretty much like moved in.
mm-hmm.
Waking up, going to sleep together, doing all, you know, doing stuff safely that we could do. You know, in the summer of 2020. And things were great. You know, I was like, if this is what it's going to, you know, married life is going to be like, hey,
sign me up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready. You know, I get to do this thing with the person I really, really care about, my best friend that I love, you know, like, mm-hmm. This is dope as hell. So,
right.
You know, meeting new family members and just making all mm-hmm. these plans and, actually talking about getting our own place together and built, like, what do we want that to look like? And just like really fleshing out what we wanted our relationship to look like, not based off like, well, my parents did this, so it has to be this way. Or
yeah,
I see my friends' relationships be this way, so it has to be this way or whatever. It's like, no, what do we want it to be? What works for us? And building that mm-hmm. out. So like the whole life thing. Mm-hmm. So Labor Day weekend comes. Outside was kind of open a little bit. People were traveling more. So mm-hmm. yeah, a little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. to some extent. And like a bunch of my friends were finally coming back in town for various things or whatever. So it was just like we get to see people we haven't seen in a while. I had graduation photos that she was like, I want to come, I want to be part of it or whatever. So she helped me mm-hmm. do that. We went to Topgolf. We did just hung out. It was just a bunch of love that weekend mm-hmm. Of just being around family and friends and things like that. And so we went to brunch on a Sunday, the Sunday before Labor Day. And we had fun and whatnot. And you know, when you get some alcohol in you, sometimes like you say some petty stuff, say some like, what? Why would you say that or whatever?
Yeah.
And somehow we got on a conversation of like finally like our past and finally being together. And and looking back at it in hindsight, it was a really stupid conversation. But mm-hmm. Because of our history, you know, there was still probably some hurt feelings there, and where I felt like I was a safe option for her and she felt like she wasn't like my top choice when it came to dating. So we're, you know, mimosa buzz, but we're discussing that stuff. And, you know, it got mm-hmm. kind of heated and we got quiet or whatever. And then I took her to, you know, adult Disneyland, which is Target. And we walking into Target and I like just grabbed her and I was just like, look, you know, I love you. You know, that argument, I'm not mad. You know, that was alcohol talking. It's not even that serious. And she said it back and things like that. And we went on our merry way. Mm-hmm. So Labor Day, we wake up. Our plan was to go get tacos because she loved tacos.
Wow. And, so do I. Me and
Yeah. Y'all homies, you know, spiritual homies. But the plan was to go get tacos and just hang out, you know, because both of us had gone back to work by this time. You know, and it was like the holiday. It was the end of the holiday. So we were like, we're just going to chill out. And I remember I woke up before her. And I remember shooting her a text saying, hey, good morning. I love you. You were never a second option for me. And then when she woke up, she didn't realize I sent her the message. We were in the, you know, sleeping together in the same room and stuff like that. And I'm getting up and she finally got up and we were talking. And then she saw the message I sent her and she replied back, you know, good morning. I love you too. You're not a safe option for me. And so I leave to go get her tacos, and she had been talking about not feeling well. She had a headache that lingers, which is common. So she was just like, I'm just going to try to sleep it off. So I come back with the tacos. And I'm like, hey, I got the tacos, and she's still not feeling well. So I'm like, okay, you know, if that you don't shake that headache, I'm going to take you to the emergency room. You know, I've been to the emergency room with her before where she had a flare up and things like that. So I'm like, yeah, if you can't shake it, like, yeah, I'm going to take you. And I swear about 15, 20 minutes later, I turn around, she's having a seizure.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, wait, what? So I freaked out.
Yeah.
And, you know, call the ambulance. I'm like, I don't know what to do. She's having a seizure, you know, right here in the bed. Like, what am I supposed to do? And they're trying to calm me down and talk me through it or not. So luckily there's like a fire department like right around the corner from my house. So the ambulance was there relatively quickly. So they walk in, you know, doing what they're doing, you know, and they're like, yeah, we're going to take her to the hospital, Barnes Jewish, which is one of the main hospitals here in St. Louis. So they're wheeling her out. By then I called her mom, like, this, she had a seizure in the bay. I don't know what's happening. Get to Barnes ASAP. I called, you know, my dad, like, I don't know what to do. I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
So I take her to the hospital. Her mom actually beat me there. And I'm walking. It's still the same rules. Like, I only think one person could be in the emergency room with the person. Just the weird ass COVID rules or whatever. That weirdness. And her mom, as I'm walking into the hospital, her mom walks out and was like, she's back in the emergency room, and she's coherent now, and she's asking for you. And I'm like, oh, okay. And her mom was like, take care of my baby. Let me know if anything happens. And I'm like,
yeah,
she asked for me. And come to find out that, like, she was just worried about me. Out of all people, which is still kind of feels surreal at times. So go back to the emergency room. She had no idea what happened. So I had to tell her, like, you had a seizure, you know, in the bed. Da, da, da. She has no memory of any of that or whatever.
Wow.
So I'm just sitting there with her, making arrangements to get her daughter to school next day, just keeping her, trying to keep people informed of what's going on while stressing. And she just got worse and worse.
Yeah.
They took her to ICU. And I at that point I had to go home because I can't go on that floor, you know, with her and things like that.
Yeah.
And I went home and I lost it. Like, what is happening right now? And you know, next day she was stable. She was still there. And then within a matter of like another 12 hours, she was gone.
Wow.
And her mom called me at 3 a.m. and was like, hey, I think you should go to the hospital. There's no activity in her brain.
Wow.
And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, it's 3 a.m. I'm still confused. But I'm like, you said yesterday, like she was like somewhat coherent. Like, what? And I lost it.
I told my
parents, you know, what happened, and drove to the hospital. Went up to her room, and there she was.
Wow.
Plugged up to everything, I don't know if I went into autopilot or whatever, but For some reason, I call my shout out to Ronnie Notch, my big brother Ronnie. I called him first, mm-hmm. and I'm like, bro, because we had just hung out not too long ago. We went to the gun range, mm-hmm. but something was pushed me to call him first, and I called him, and he came to the hospital right away. I'm thankful to him for that. Thankful for him for that. But he just consoled me, like,
yeah,
he had my back. And the other tough part about it was having to call her friends.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
I called her friends probably an hour after I got to the hospital, and I had to tell them.
Yeah.
And that was the hardest thing I think I've ever had to do at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Call these people that were like pivotal in her life to tell her like she gone, basically.
Right. Yeah.
And they all took it various different ways. And you know, throughout the course of the next few days, I was calling people who I felt mattered to us the most, and just having to tell that. I still don't know how I did that. I did that.
Autopilot.
Was able to get through that. It was autopilot. Like I'm having full blown breakdowns, but like telling people like I'll be okay. Like,
yeah,
you know, trying to protect myself the best way I could. So, they took her off all the life support stuff on September 10th, 2020. And yeah, I was still holding out hope too. That's another thing. Like some type of miracle was gonna happen. Like, nah, this can't mm-hmm. be mm-hmm. this can't be it. You mean to tell me this time we spent from basically the world shut down in March to September? This how the fuck this gonna go?
Like, yeah.
It makes sense. It doesn't make sense to me. Like you were saying, like, right. No, this is, I'm supposed to be doing life with this person. Like everybody knew.
Like, no, something's wrong.
I was gonna marry her.
No.
Like,
right.
That was the plan. Mm-hmm. Okay, I had to make sure you're still here. Internet was interneting.
I'm here.
But I'm gonna call my therapist and trying to talk. I was like, yo, I need them sessions are gonna come back to back. Like my whole world is turned upside down, and I was in denial mm-hmm. about it. I was in denial about it until the funeral.
Oh, absolutely.
I still felt like it was a joke. Like, oh, you just needed a break. You just needed a break and you like went and got it. Like, I'm not going to be mad if you walk through this door. I'll just be happy to see you. Right. And that finality of walking up to the casket and mm-hmm. there she was. It hit different. It hit different. A piece of me died that day.
Absolutely.
A piece of me that like that version of me will, you know, I'll never be that version again.
Never.
And, you know,
never.
In some ways, like as far as like the story of my life, it's a good thing. It taught me a lot of things, you know, what a relationship means, the work that goes into it, like mm-hmm. even though we weren't married until death do us part type stuff. I know what that's like.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, it's just like, damn, like those things we talked about, that piece of me like is just gone, and now I have to rebuild my identity from the ground mm-hmm. up. And then grief came in waves.
Yeah.
What could I have done differently? Had I just mm-hmm. taken her to the emergency room the moment she said her head was hurting? From to like, why the hell do I have to go through this? I'm not supposed to be going through this. Like,
right. Not fair.
It's not fair. Make it make sense to like wanting people to leave me the fuck alone. Like, yeah. Yeah. The messages, like I appreciated all the messages and all the people that checking in on me, but like I'm like, y'all gonna go back to y'all lives.
Yep.
I'm stuck to deal with this shit. So it'd be best if you just leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then going out and being amongst people, and you know, that used to be like your person, your road dog is not with you. We were able to do all those things together, and now it's weird.
Yeah.
But you have to do it because you can't. If you sit in the room, your bedroom, that the four walls eat at you.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. And I was on, like I said, I was on autopilot from the end of 2020, maybe to the middle, probably to the summer of 2021 when I started to even remotely feel quote unquote normal.
Like a person, yeah.
like a person. And then the idea. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it also didn't help that her birthday, she passed in the beginning of September. Her birthday's in October. Thanksgiving is the next month, a family holiday.
Yep, holidays.
And Christmas, mm-hmm. another family holiday. And New mm-hmm. Year's, you're celebrating like the new things that you want to achieve. Like all that. I was like, yeah, all that just got snatched.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, the whole idea of like, oh God, I gotta start back dating. Like, oh, I'm not ready for that.
For this, yeah.
Like, I don't want to be back out there. I know it's out there. Or also feeling like, okay, if you do find somebody you may be interested, like, how are they gonna take that story?
Are they even gonna understand that level of trauma? Yeah.
Yeah, or feeling like they have to compete. I'm like, it's not
right.
There's no competing or feeling like you have to live up to it. You know, frankly, you not her. So why do that to yourself? And if I'm dealing with you, I'm not looking for you to be her. But like, you know, that's another level of communicating that, you know, some people just don't get to. So it was just like a lot going on. I still have moments where like the absence of like her, like I know a lot of things have gone well for me in my life, you know, recently. I've been like, okay, she's watching over me, but there are moments where like I feel like she's gonna walk through the door. I still feel like
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I'm back. You know, like,
yeah, just kidding.
Yeah, I just needed a 2-year break.
Yeah.
going to even the gravesite, I didn't do it by myself until recently. Mm-hmm. I've never been that type of person, because I'm like, that's not them.
Yeah.
I don't want to remember them in that way. You know, last time I saw them on their last moments or stuff like that. Like, that's not them. I don't choose to remember them that way. But something pushed me to go there. And I went by myself, and I'm glad that I did. Because it helped out a lot. With the grieving and stuff like that, it's like I said, it comes in waves. You know, September as a month is not going anywhere, but you would swear everything will be fine, and then you'll be used to it, and then that time of year hits, and it's just like, why do I feel like this? Oh,
like, right, why I want to fight everybody?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's that date is coming up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So prepare for that. So, and then that's where you came in. That's where your content came in, and it was like, it's like I said, the algorithm did what the algorithm needed to do, and
definitely
it was just right on time, just the messaging and things like that. So I said it earlier, but yes, thank you.
Thank you.
A lot of the sentiments that you had, I was feeling, and I don't think people understood. But you put it in a way where, like, yep, okay, let me try saying it this way.
Right.
Let me try saying it that way. Because people are just trying to help.
They are.
The best they can.
The best they can.
Yeah.
It is not helpful a lot of the times, but they are trying.
Yeah, they are trying. And it's different. It's different when you're the one dealing with it, too. So correct. They're, like I said, their life is back to normal, you know. And also my sister, I have two sisters. The one in the middle, I'm the youngest. She lost her husband what was that, 2006? And she basically went through it and was able to identify like a lot of the things that I was feeling. So she was a big soundboard for me to like vent, because she's been there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's been there before too. So it was a combination of all of y'all that like really helped me
be a part of it.
Yeah. Really, really helped me deal with that. So, do you get hit with like the whole dating thing? Like, how do you navigate that space?
It's difficult. I tell you that. I think I am just now to a point where, because I still call him my boyfriend, but still. Like after he passed, you know, I would hang out with people, but that's all it was going to be, you know. Right. I still felt very much in a relationship, and I dare you to tell me that I'm not, you know.
Right.
I was like, no, I'm in a relationship. So, and you know, they're like, well, who? Don't worry about it. You're in my business. I'm to a point now where I can, you know, I've said like, well, I am single, you know, I'm single. And, you know, I have to take a breath sometimes when I say it, but I mean, I've gone on some dates and allowed myself to kind of breathe. You know, it might've been a little anxiety beforehand. Cause it's like, not me finna go on this date, not me finna shit on Keenan.
Yeah.
Like, is it? And I would talk to his picture like, you mad at me, right? You don't want me to go, right? I shouldn't go. And all the while, he probably looking like, girl, get on.
Exactly.
But it just, there's so much guilt associated with losing a partner and then trying to date afterwards. Because like we said earlier, this whole life is planned out for you and them. And then it's like, well, what you mean date other people? You mean cheat, because this is cheating. That's what I feel like it is. Yeah. Because I'm still stuck on what was supposed to be. And right. I still, that it's so unique what you just said about, you know, Chantel just coming back. You know, you still have a little bit of a mustard seed size hope, like maybe she'll come back. I feel like that all the time. I told my therapist that the other day. I was like, it still feels like, well, maybe, you know, what if he does? What if this was a really big, elaborate joke? And then he comes back, you know? And it's not all the time, but it is sometimes I would just get that, like, that feeling, like, if he comes in the door today, like you said, I won't even be mad. I won't even be mad. I'll be all mm-hmm. right. We took a break. You know, it'll be 2 years in February. Like, all right, we took a 2-year break. We can just jump right back in. It's fine. Just come mm-hmm. on back. But having to talk myself out of that space is, you know, a wave in itself. Because it's like, no, 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 that's not going to happen. And exactly. having to process that is a totally different thing. Saying it is one thing, processing it is something else. And I think that's grief in general. You can say one thing, but having to process it is what we struggle with. Because just like you said, when her mom called and said that she passed, the first thing was like, what do you mean? Because the first thing we think is, no, that's not true.
Denial.
No, I had like, what do you mean? I just talked to them. Mm-hmm. You're a liar. You know, when Ken's cousin showed up at my house at 5 a.m. to tell me that he had passed. And I already knew because, you know, he had called and told me he was on his way. Funny enough, he complained about a headache as well. And he asked if we had headache medicine. And I said, we do. He was like, okay, well, I'm on the way. And that's the last thing he said to me. And I probably called Ken about 300 times between that moment and 5 a.m. And I kept saying, if I don't hear from him by 5, I'm going to call. I didn't want to alert his family,
yeah.
you know, until I figured out what was going on. Little did I know that behind the scenes, the family had already been, you know, things were moving and I had no clue. And his cousins, because he grew up with his cousins. He was raised by his aunt. They are wonderful people. They're wonderful. And they still, you know, I'm very much close to them. So when they showed up at my door, like I was putting clothes on to go look for him because I was like, something's wrong, you know. I'm putting clothes on and they're ringing my doorbell. And I was like, okay, well, maybe he forgot his key. And then it's them. And I already knew because what else are you here for? I'm not having a party. It's 5 a.m. And his cousin said, I opened the door and I said, what happened? And she said, let's go in. Because I kind of had them on the porch. I was like, no, just say it. Because even though my brain started to realize this is going terribly wrong, you know, I still needed her to say it. I was like, just say it. Because I know what you're going to say. And when she said it, and I still was like, no, he's not. Like, the way we reject unfamiliar or, you know, that the way that part of our brain protects us from, you know, that type of news is absolutely hilarious to me. But I immediately was like, no, he's not. And I remember, I don't know what she said after that, because I asked her, well, what happened? And I just remember looking around the room and the room got really small. And it was, you know, like Charlie Brown's teacher. Well, why? Like I could hear her talking, but I was like, why are the walls closing in? Like what's going on? And I, just like you, I just lost it. Just completely lost my shit. And the first thing you feel, I think, after your denial is the guilt. Because I had the same thing, like, well, he didn't sound well when he called me. Maybe I should have asked him what was wrong. Maybe I should have done this. Maybe I was talking on the phone to one of my friends that night too. So I didn't even realize when he said he was on the way, I was like, okay, we had been on the phone like 1 hour, maybe 2 hours before. I'm like, where the fuck is Ken? And I was like, I was running my fucking mouth on the phone when I should have been seeing where Ken was. Because where he was coming from was maybe 10 minutes from where we live. And I was like, I was on the phone running my mouth instead of checking on Ken. And that's my fault. You know, everything felt like I could have done that differently. I could have done that differently. I went off the rails there. But still, it just, it like you said, trying to date and find somebody that can, you don't even have to understand it, but who can at least accept that my brain is working that way. Like, my brain has suffered this type of trauma, and we've all suffered trauma, but I've suffered this type of trauma. So certain things, you know, won't work for me. Like, right. Now, I need to know that everybody made it home safe. If I say, let me know when you get home, I fucking mean it. Like, hello, are you home?
Right.
Because again, the last thing Ken said to me was, I'm on the way. Never came back. So that part of me where it's just like, well, let me know if you make it home. If you don't let me know, whatever. That's dead. I need to know. So, you know, sometimes that can come off. People like, well, you ain't my mama. You know, but it's not that I'm trying to be invasive. It's just that yeah. triggers me. Certain things like that trigger me. When people say, oh, I got a headache. I'm like, well, what's wrong? What you need? What's going on? What do you do? You know, now, because of this, that triggers me. So I know, you know, somebody having to come in and deal with that trauma has to be difficult, you know, and I try to scale it back because I'm so open about my grief. Sometimes I could talk about it and I'd be like, my bad, is that too much for you? Like, did I, you know, because right. I have talked to some people, they're just like, that's not weird. And I'm like, oops, my bad.
Yeah.
I'm so comfortable with it now that sometimes it comes out. Sometimes it goes that way. Like, you know, and it's hard out here. It was hard to date, you know, either way. But now it's like you said, that I've experienced that kind of love where we were really thriving. We were doing well. Like, there were plans, like plans in place. We were doing so well. And for that to be snatched so fast and then to have to process that so quickly is like, sometimes it just now, in the last few weeks, I just started getting excited about certain things because I wouldn't get excited about stuff no more because I'm like, it may or may not happen because somebody's gonna die. Like, you know, I was in such a cynical space. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. We're all gonna die. So let's not be dead. We may be dead. Right. My friends are like, oh my God, nobody's gonna die. I'm like, stop saying that. I'm like, it doesn't matter. We're all dying. You know, it just, but that's where I am. So it is hard to date. And like I said, I have been on some very fun dates and, you know, met some really, really great people. And I hope to continue, you know, to meet great people. But it is hard because a lot of times when they're sitting there talking, if they say anything that triggers a memory of Ken, I have automatically left this fucking conversation. And now I am thinking back to, oh, I remember when Ken said that. And then when he said that, we was at the beach. And then when we was at the beach, we did. Like, I don't. And then that, they go, what you think? And I'm like, what the fuck you say? Because I didn't.
Right. I went down a rabbit hole. Hold on.
Right. I am gone. I have left this. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about anymore. And that's not me trying to do it on purpose. And hell, that's anybody. Like, if you're telling me a story and you say anything remotely close to something I know me and Ken have talked about, I've left that conversation. I'm gone. So it's hard. It's hard to be present with people a lot of times. But I mean, like you said, well, it's almost like either you do it or, like you said, damn if you do, damn if you don't. So
yeah,
you might as well try, you know. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. I'm trying.
I asked that is because I thought I might have been ready in 2020, like the end of 2021, and I realized that, like, yeah, my thing is I don't that's a fear of mine. Like, I don't want to us be everything going well and we vibing and something trigger me and you like, what the fuck? or whatever. Like, I don't want to freak you out. You know?
Right.
Not saying it's a, you know, certain, you know, women I've come across have been understanding. Not like, so what happened? Like, da da da. So it's been a little bit easier to, like, share what happened if they truly want to know. I don't want to overshare either. That's another thing I worry about, like, oversharing. Like, we were doing this, da 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 da. Like,
right.
you know, hey, you know, we were enjoying the pandemic and doing this stuff and doing this. Like, I don't need to know all that. Like,
right,
you know,
right. This is, yeah.
You've been through this, you've been through that, and you know, hopefully they can accept that. And if not, you know, that's not your person. But I thought I was ready. And my therapist was like, you still you still not entirely sure who you are, what your identity right. is. It's not the person that when you initially came into therapy, it's not the person you were when you were in couples therapy. You're not the person you thought you were when, you know, Chantel passed. Like, this is so totally different. And you have to learn that from all over from square one. And that took longer than I thought.
Yeah.
To the point now, like, now I'm kind of like, okay, you know, we'll see what's going on out here, stuff like that. But all those thoughts are super valid. Super valid. Mm-hmm. Especially just the whole dealing with people during that time.
In general. Yeah.
In general. You know, and like I said, her cousin who was her best friend, basically her best friend called me and was like, "What happened?" And all I could say is like, "I'm sorry." Like,
yeah.
taking the blame for it. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I tried. Like it was my fault. And it's so crazy.
I did a lot of apologizing too. I noticed that during that time, especially with people who have lost partners, that's kind of the main thing. You keep apologizing. And at some point, I didn't even know what I was apologizing for. But I was just like, it's funny you said that. When I was calling Ken's friends, the first thing I would say was, "I'm so sorry," you know? And one of his friends was like, "Stop telling me that. Like, stop saying that. You didn't do it." I'm like, "I know, but yeah. I'm sorry." I remember telling him I'm sorry when the viewing was over, because I stayed the entire day at his viewing like a maniac. And that whole day is such a blur to me. People are like, "Yeah, remember we talked about this?" No. "Remember I asked you this?" Absolutely not. But I was there all day from 10 to 7:30. And at 7:30, when they were like, you know, "Get your flowers and we'll close up the room," I even went in and I told him, like, "I'm so sorry." Like, because I had to leave and I felt bad for leaving him. And I'm like, "Oh, once again, here I am failing." You know, it's such a weird space, because I knew I couldn't, I obviously can't spend the night with his body, but I was so sorry about that. You know, it is weird how much you apologize during that time, because there's so much guilt, and sometimes you don't even know where the guilt is coming from in that moment, but you're just sorry. Like, I'm sorry. So I'm glad to hear you say that, because it makes me validated in that moment where I'm just like, "Oh, I'm sorry."
Yeah. I'm calling people, like I said, telling them what happened. Like, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. And like, yeah, and some of them were like, "What? Like,
right?
Are you okay? Are you good?"
Yeah,
you
know,
yeah. I was like, "I'll be fine." You know, that whole thing. But yeah, it's like you said, it's some type of autopilot defense mechanism or whatever that just kicked in, and like self preservation. To the best of my abilities.
Right.
But yeah, when it comes to that dating piece, I don't, for whatever reason, I was like, "I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to be looked at as
right."
Just a lot of irrational thoughts. Like, "I don't want to be looked at as weird. I don't want to be like that dude or whatever."
Or
like
the sick and sad puppy with like, "Oh, puppy."
Yeah. Yeah, it's the range of emotions. And then, you know, some people are like, I just want you to be you again, normal. And I'm just like, fuck you.
No.
Like,
no.
Like that is not happening anytime soon. I'm fighting for my life here. I'm trying to be normal.
I'm fighting for my life.
I'm trying to be normal here, and it's hard. It is really, really hard. Trust me. If I could flip a switch, I would. But I can't run from it. I gotta go straight through it and process everything and not bury everything. But yeah, I had that internal monologue where I hear a voice and, you know, she like, get back out there. Oddly enough, we had a conversation way before she passed. And I think to an extent, she kind of had accepted that things could go left with her lupus, because I was given an assignment by my therapist to write my own obituary. And that was the hardest shit.
Yeah.
Writing about yourself is hard, but like writing your obituary for like the things you want people to like remember you by and for, it was hard. And I remember we went to the movies. I can't remember what we saw, but before the movie, we were sitting out talking, and I told her, I was like, yeah, my therapist like just make me write my own obituary. And she was like, yeah, I've done it. I'm like, wait, what? She's like, thought about it. She's like, yeah, things could go left with my health. And then, of course, at the time, I'm like, why would you say that? Like, we're not even going to put that out there.
Think about
or
that.
Whatever.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But now, you know, after everything that's happened, it's like,
preparing you.
Were you prepping me? Like, you know, the pandemic, you know, just kind of made things easier. Where was I being prepped? Like, did you know?
I feel the same. Yeah, I feel the same.
Like, we spent all, you knew, and we spent all that amount of time together. Like,
right.
What's going on? You know, like, why would you do that to me?
Right.
Or whatever. That once again, the whole range of emotions to like disbelief, anger at them, which is something you talked about. I think that was like the first video I saw. Angry at them, like, why did you not tell me what was really going on in your health? Like, why would you not tell me or whatever?
Right. And
just the emotions, just all the emotions, man.
Yeah.
The emotions were all over the place. So, yeah. I just want to say thank you for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
It was a shot in the dark, and it worked. So I'm like,
it worked.
Pat myself on the back. Give yourself a pat on the back.
Yeah
for sure. I do want you to share your platforms before you leave and get out of here.
Oh, definitely. So everything's my name. My TikTok is my first and last name. So Sharnia Wilson. So it's just CHARNIAHWILSON. And my Instagram is CWilson_06. And I, of course, there are more videos on TikTok because that's the bigger platform. But the Instagram is catching up. Because at first I didn't want to really put a lot of that on Instagram. Then I'm like, nope, this is who I am now. So, yes, I have to share it on both. So the Instagram is definitely catching up and it's catching wind. But definitely follow me on both of those.
Yep. Great content. Like she said, the TikTok, definitely tap in with the TikTok. There's a lot of dope stuff on there. And then she'll move it over to Instagram for sure. But yes. For seriously though, thank you. You were great. You have nothing to worry about. I told you it was gonna go good.
It did. I was nervous, but I really enjoyed it.
You did great. You did great. So
thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Make sure y'all tap in with her. And until next time, I'll holler at y'all later. Peace.
Without you, I feel uneven. Make every day I love season. Baby girl, you know you're my rider. That should be enough. enough reason. Call your baby, that's only your title. Cause I don't need no more rival.
You gotta give me that.
I put that on the Bible.
You gotta give me that.
You're the only thing that I want.
You gotta give me that.
Give me that feeling. Make every day a love season. Dirty lover, you are my rider. That should be enough reason. I call you baby, that's only your title. Cause I don't need no more rivals. I put that on the Bible. I'm a lawyer till my time gone.